This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
This is Elmer Hamady. He'll be desperate to make amends after that bizarre own goal. And Grealish, another excellent Villa goal. And surely that's the one that settles it with only 2 minutes left. How about that on the volley from Grealish?
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael from myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, having just accessed Steve Bruce's iCloud, it's Dan Rogers from thevillaunderground.com. How are you?
Fantastic. We are on the cliff edge of seven straight wins. Now, in the life of this podcast, did you ever imagine that we would be at this point? This isn't what we're here for. We're convened for the purposes of going how terrible things are.
I know, it's alien territory completely.
We've fallen into a parallel universe of Aston Villa supporting.
I just wish, I've only one complaint. I just wish it was a bit warmer for these games that we're winning now, because it was a bit chilly against the Burton, but it's...
Winter is coming.
As you'll find out if you carry on listening. Well, let's link straight to it. How was your trip to Belfast that you hinted at last episode?
It was really productive. Business and pleasure, but the key thing, spoiler alert for Game of Thrones fans, I was there the night that Winterfell burned down.
I don't think you gave them enough spoiler alert time to switch off this podcast.
Well, you can interject some... bonging noise or something, or like turn off your listening.
So what were you doing, flying a helicopter over the set or something?
Of course. Well, I was like everyone else that there was a big fire. Well,
did you get your drone out?
Got my drone out. I was like everyone else, peering and going. But prime suspect number one is Tormund Giantsbane, who happened to be looking rather relaxed in reception at the hotel I was staying in the next morning. So if you were in the Fitzwilliam in Belfast, you'll know too that there's someone who apparently died at the end of season 7 who happened to be practicing lines after the main set burnt down the night before. Just saying.
So what you're trying to say is like method actor who's still in character, playing it cool and acting all innocent.
Like a ginger John Carew, isn't he?
So, I'm thinking if Winterfell burns down, and I think potentially a dragon has burnt it out. Was it burning with blue light, or was it normal flamage?
It was normal flamage, but you don't know what after effects might be applied. It was definitely burnt to the ground.
Mm. Yeah, a bit of CGI to change the colour. So that's one of the first stops after the wall, isn't it? As you fly down on your little ice dragon.
Well, Tormund as well. Is at the end of season 7, he's at Eastwatch when the dragon comes through. So he's presumed crushed underneath the blue fire, and lo and behold, he's apparently in season 8. Whose side is he on?
I don't know, but I don't think it's implied that he's out of action.
Well, he's at Eastwatch.
He's there when the shit goes down, but you don't see him like die.
You don't.
So I don't think there's no big, like, he's dead cliffhanger. So I don't know, he's like a coming back from the dead type chap.
Listen, I'm just saying, you know. He was drinking a peppermint tea, looking rather nonchalant after a massive arson had taken place at Winterfell. You just, you know, you can stay on Giant's Bane side, whatever. It doesn't bother me.
So we're putting that out there to all those people who have Game of Thrones YouTube channels and podcasts to just pillage from our podcast so we can get back onto talking about Aston Villa.
Yes.
Actually, speaking of the Viking connection, the Norwegians, before the Burton game, I went, there was a couple of Aston Villa supporters who came over from Norway. It was one of them's, Chris's birthday, and he actually brought 12 friends with him, and what he wanted to do on his birthday was go to Villa Park. So only one of them was an actual Villa supporter, and the other 10 were just there for the jolly,
for the crack.
So I met them at 11 o'clock. I think they'd set off at 7 in the morning from Norway, and they flew via Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd pretty much been drinking since I think the other Villa fan was he's called Rickard. When Chris picked up Rickard, the first thing he did was hand him a drink, a beer. So they were off before their 8 a.m. flight. Anyway, I met them at 11 because he was giving me a signed shirt that he'd won through Norway's Unibet. I think they had a competition, like most dedicated Norwegian fan or something, and the fact that he'd call his dogs Aston and Villa won him satisfied the criteria and won him the signed shirt. So he wanted to donate that shirt to a homeless charity in Birmingham. He went for Operation Drawstring. So watch out for that, because that'll be auctioned off to raise money for their next Easter activity. But no, so we're chatting. That's it. We were drinking till like 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, the funny story is Rickard, we were talking, you know, it was going to be Rickard's first ever game at Villa Park, and, you know, they were talking about the goosebumps of walking up to the ground and seeing, like, the whole 10 face, you know, the Aston Villa, the Victorian architecture, and then, you know, walking into the stadium for the first time, and when you get to see the pitch and all the goosebumps, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the next day, Chris sends me a video of Rickard being escorted out by stewards for taking a beer to his seat.
Oh, in a democracy, that's not allowed.
I think after the 60 minute mark. So there's your first. You fly in from another country, which is miles away, to experience your first Villa experience, and you end up getting carted out by the stewards just because you took a beer to your seat. And you know how these things happen. You're queuing for like 10 minutes. You finally get there, and the game's about to kick off in a minute, and you've got a full beer to drink. So sometimes you're like, do you want to waste that fiver that you just spent?
Oh, that so just makes me recoil.
But also, you're from another country, and you don't realise that this Grand Britannia has such oppressive regimes that you can't even have a beer at your seat.
That's bullshit. I apologise on behalf of someone.
On behalf of our nation and our football club, apologies. Right, coming up in the show, after the 3 points, which basically talks about winning runs and also a certain sex tape, we go into the Burton game. Maybe we can explain in detail the 30 minutes that Rickard missed, the last 30 minutes, but which was kind of an unconvincing game, and a game that Villa maybe should have killed off. We'll also have an update on the Hogan touch count, and discuss more about Jack Grealish's ever-growing contribution to the makeup of this team. In terms of the Blues derby, I think we'll do a little separate show for that one as a preview. Anyway, let's get into this. Point number one of the 3 points. 6 wins for Aston Villa on the trot. This is the first time this has happened since 1990, when, incidentally, Villa got promoted from the second tier under Graham Taylor and back into the big time. It's going to happen again, isn't it, Dan?
It's not to be readily dismissed, is it? And I was reflecting on this for the last few days, really. 1990, I think in the last podcast we were saying, well, 1998 is a long time since, which was 5 wins under Gregory. This 1990 is even longer ago, and it's, you know, we talk at...
Don't remind me how old I am, Daniel.
Well, it's at least 5 years ago, isn't that right?
And something like that.
I was thinking, well, you know, dude, what was happening in 1990 is a bit of a tweet, and I looked and it was like the world was a different place in 1990, and you do forget this is pre-internet, this is pre-Premier League, which was when football was invented, as we all know. Yeah. And it's remarkable, you know, you as I say, readily dismissed.
So yeah, to win six games, when you just look at it in isolation, you'd be surprised that it's like decades since we last did it. It's not big a feat. If you've got a successful team, you expect, that's part of the problem,
28
really.
28 years ago.
We haven't had a real successful team, but you Manchester City's, Manchester United's, if they win six games on the trot, it's not that big a deal. You start to get gets a bit more interesting once it gets to 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
But tougher games are coming up though, but still a potential to extend it.
I think against the backdrop of the last, when we say 5 years, but probably it's 7 years, isn't it? You know, against the backdrop of perennial decline over that period where we were, you know, in the Premier League years when we were before the relegation, you know, it's like getting up on a Saturday morning hoping that we didn't lose and we drew. You know, we weren't winning one and two games on the bounce. And to be honest, 6-win streak now, it does feel like the momentum is with us finally.
Yeah, well, speaking of momentum, point number two, which is turning into a bit of a two-hander. Well, I'm sure Cardiff would have something else to say to that. But Derby are now on an 11-game unbeaten run after defeating Brentford at home 3-0. I think they've got two home games to come, I think, against Norwich and Leeds, if I'm not mistaken. The last time the Rams went on such a run, Gary Rowett, was actually in the team that would go on to get promoted to the Premier League under Jim Smith in 1996. So one of those teams has got a buckle, or do they just both march to the end and then Wolves completely shrivel up and die somehow? I mean, I watched, but then again, I watched the first few minutes of Wolves against Sheffield United in the Aston Social, and their goal was just ridiculous. Their first one, it was a wonder strike.
Yeah, Wolves seem to have a swagger and a confidence, don't they, of league leaders. They haven't had any rocky patch as such, but it doesn't look like they're going to have one. And to be honest, to lose that number of games, they'd have to have some collapse. I think in terms of, you know, where we are here and now, we've got to put our targets on Derby, and yeah, they're on an 11-game unbeaten run. But we've just got to keep doing what we're doing, and I think the fact that we're on the six-game run that we're on, and we're going into a group of, you know, there's a couple of tricky games on the horizon. I mean, that's...
Well, the next two, Blues and then Fulham away. If we're on a winning streak of eight games, then I'm starting to think that we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it shortly, but I think that going into the Blues game, we're in the best shape that we've been in for, to be honest, a number of years. The Blues are on the ascendancy given their recent form. I mean, essentially they're into promotion form, aren't they, off the back of the last six and eight.
If you're looking at the last six games, you're talking about the top form team, which is Villa, against the fourth best in the Championship. So,
so if
hopefully
nothing else,
it'll
be a good game.
One.
Yeah. If nothing else, it'll be a good one, and a full house at Villa Park too.
Mentioned the Jim Smith there. He used to live on the same road as my dad when my dad was a kid, and my dad was a bit of a footballer. And I think when he was a later teen, he bumped into Jim Smith, and Jim Smith was asking him what happened to him, as in, what, you know, why didn't he make it? Because he said, I had you down for like making it. But I think my dad got into, well, this is what my dad says anyway, that Jim Smith said he was going to make it. But I think my dad got into drinking and shagging and that kind of derailed him from his professional football career that Jim Smith would have sponsored.
Speaking of which, point three.
Speaking of which, the Dali Alli sex tape has popped out.
I think we're the only people who haven't been removed by his lawyers at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, when you Google it, there's all these stories on it from, you know, all the normal suspects, the tabloids. They pop up on Google, but then when you click on them, they've all disappeared.
Bizarre, isn't it?
They've been stripped from the internet. I don't know if they're going to try to make out that it was fake news, even though there's a video out there.
There is.
Well, there is. That's the whole point, isn't it?
I don't know what you want me to say. Do you want me to commentate it? I mean, we're both staring at our plan of the podcast, listeners, and we've got a still, if I can describe it.
Well, you put it there. What did you put it?
It's for,
I didn't really need a picture of him standing there with this smirk on his face.
He's very happy. He's just beaten Spurs. No, they drew.
What? Why is he tweak? Yeah, why is he tweaking his nipple though?
Don't know, but the young lady with him's having an awful fun time, isn't she?
Well, we can't see the expression on her face, so we can't be too sure. She may be chained down there.
That's true.
But it's, I mean, Well, the big question is who else is in the room filming this? I mean, I don't think he's set it up on a tripod, surely.
Dwight York, Mark Bosnich. They had a sex Mark tape Bosnich. Too.
Of course, Dele Alli, when Tim Sherwood was in charge, there was talk about Dele Alli coming to Villa, and I think probably he would have been a better fit at Villa because obviously there's a bit of a history of sex tapes at Villa with Dwight York and Mark Bosnick's orgy tape. And then obviously Ashley Young used to have this thing about wanking to a webcam.
And then
speak for yourself. And then the most infamous one was obviously Stefan Possmeyer.
Mm.
With his wife, was it girlfriend, wearing a strap-on and giving him a bit of... I've seen the tape.
I know, I'm saying allegedly to cover myself. You carry on talking.
There's no alleged about it. It's Ali's lawyers can come after us, but Possmer's lawyers, it's a fair cop. I mean, I've listened to a podcast, actually. I think it was Lee Hendry was a guest on some podcast, and he was talking about the aftermath and... the stick that Possmer got, that he got literally
from his wife
in the ass and from the Villa players, which I think he took it quite well actually. I'm trying to remember the banter from the Villa players. It was quite funny what Hendry was saying anyway. But yeah, I don't know. The whole idea of filming yourself or getting somebody else to film yourself having sex is just a bizarre concept anyway. But young footballers,
they seem to have a particular niche going, don't they, for it?
Yeah, there's definitely a niche going there. They surely must be bored. It's paradise syndrome. Once you have all that money and all this adulation, you have everything. So once you get bored of everything, what do?
Yeah.
Tweak your nipple and film yourself getting oral. Anyway, that's what I was doing when I was watching the Burton Villa game. There's a link.
It's going to warm you up on a cold day.
Very cold. You've got to do something to warm yourself up. It was a strange game because a lot of people, you know, you hear people on social media or pre-match saying, oh yeah, 5-6, maybe 7-0, because people had seen Fulham thump Burton 6-0. Mm-hmm. But when you looked at Burton's away form, they'd actually had more positive results on their travels than not. I think they'd won 4, drawn 4, lost 6. So 8 games they got something from. So it's their home form that's let them down, and that's why they're bottom of the league. So I was expecting a cagier game than this 6-7, 8-0 that other Villa fans seem to be prophesizing. But Villa seemed to... Villa showed them far too much respect for what they should have done. They didn't dictate the game. I mean, at the end, Burton ended up with, I think it was 53% possession, so they had more of the game. And it was a lot of times Villa were defending deep, two banks of four and more. And when Burton had a corner, everybody was back. There was no out ball, which just frustrates me. And frustrates me even more when I was watching, I think it was last week, Liverpool highlights, and Liverpool left a player up, ball comes out from the corner, the guy holds up for a second, flicks it off, he's got two men bulleting down the wing, joining him, and basically they score straight from the corner, straight from the counter. And you're just thinking, well, Villa can't do that because they haven't got anybody standing at that. And they were doing that against Burton. I mean, against Burton, for fuck's sake.
I don't think it's Bruce's way. We could be winning 6-0. I think that would be our approach. And to be honest, I think that we've finally turned the corner in terms of, you know, taking our chances and perhaps changing our, you know, like when they got a goal, we went and got another. And I think that we've started to lose this losing mentality, if you know what I mean, of the opposition have scored and we're gonna go into ourselves and, oh, it's inevitable, they're going to equalise and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
I think we seem to take the initiative more, but I do think we've got an inherent cautiousness about us, definitely.
Negatron alert! Steve Bruce becoming popular! 6-game winning streak! Release Steve Bruce sex tape! Release Steve Bruce sex tape!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This game was a little bit different from, let's say, the Middlesbrough away game, the Sheffield United away game, where you felt pretty comfortable we would keep the opposition out. You know, we only won both those games 1-0, and we're obviously only 1-0 up in those games, but we felt solid. But this time we didn't feel solid at all, and we were getting a bit too deep for my liking, and inviting Burton to have a go, and, you know, two sloppy defensive lapses. I mean, the first one was a bit crazy. I didn't know Elmo scored an own goal until after the game when I got back, and I was
an own goal, isn't it?
In the moment, where, you know, at the game, I just thought some forward had just thrashed Johnson made him. A good save. You just thought, oh, good save, and you like tilt your head back, and then you just see the ball fire into the roof of the net, and you just thought, oh, you just followed through and scored point blank. And then when I saw the replay, I was like, Jesus.
I remember Sean Teal doing a similar one. I was at Staunton.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these things happen. I mean, interestingly, it's quite funny that no Villa player went up to him to console him.
No, they just went, you fucking idiot. Not just even like, going to console you.
It's like they didn't even look at him. They were just whispering it under their breath.
Jesus Christ, did you see that?
But I was a bit more disturbed by the second goal, because it's like, who do you blame, Terry or Hutton? Because that guy just chipped the ball. Terry ended up flat-footed in no man's land, and Hutton, basically, that was his man originally, and he just let him go.
It's a bit of both, isn't it? I mean, to be fair, my reading is it's perhaps the, you know, bit of lack of pace from Terry, and that you know, we haven't bought him for that, have we, that turn of pace? But also, it's...
And Hutton's not the greatest man when it comes to position and marking. That's what lets him down big
that
time.
That reminded me, actually, of a number of goals in our relegation season where it wasn't for Hutton not trying, but he'd always be the man where you think, what is he doing there? And he was very deep, wasn't he, for that goal?
And he does kind of switch off once the opposition's actually running off the ball. He does kind of ball watch and not really anticipate the, you know, where the guy's going to be going to. That's the minus points, which kind of I mean, maybe they took Burton a little bit for granted, so there was a little. I don't think they'll be that relaxed against Birmingham, put it that way.
No.
You know, going forward, they weren't really getting men forward quickly. I mean, that goal, the first goal that came, was actually Villa playing smartly, and, you know, Snodgrass played a great ball, a great interchange. And
it was a fantastic team goal.
Cut back by Adoma. But that was actually, that's what Villa should be. Once they have players over the halfway line, and if they got like groups of two, you know, three or four in midfield, then you've got that potential to pass it through the dirt, you know. The defence, rather than just lumping it up or, you know, hitting an aimless ball down the line.
You know, I've long been an advocate of actually having some spontaneity to the play, and I think that it's what you were saying at the outset, really, that if you don't have that man up or you don't have that out ball, you don't give yourself the opportunity to break into space. And I think the advantage of, I mean, having players who are in form and who have the technical ability of a player like Snodgrass, that shows you what this team can achieve, doesn't it? But maybe, we've said it many times before, that sometimes I think through the game management that Bruce employs, I think it can shackle some players. And
we do, it's like, let him off the leash, Bruce. I mean, you got
absolutely
Hourihane, Grealish, Snodgrass. I think it's fair to say they can all play a bit and they know how to pick a pass.
Absolutely.
And when Onomar came on, him and Grealish, they seem to thrive playing together. Mm. I mean, once they're within close proximity of each other, you know, there's a lot of little what give and goes, and they kind of take it to the defence, opposition defence. And it's a bit of a shame when they are kind of curtailed and they're sitting a lot deeper than they should be. It's like when Axel came on, and so obviously the natural thing there is obviously Elmo goes further up the field, Axel slips in at right back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Elmo spent most of the time just standing on his toes. It's as if we were playing with two right backs, and didn't really give him an out ball. But I don't think that's the blame is on the player there. It's the program, you know, how they've been programmed by Brucey is, you know, as you say, it's caution first.
Mm-hmm.
But which is fair enough. But when you're shipping two goals against Burton, I mean, funny enough, the guy I was sitting next to, my friend's old man, I turned to him when we went 2-0 up, and I said, I think we'll need three to win this. and the prophecy came true.
Came true again. You're the prophet of doom, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it's good that I've got it mapped out, or else we'd have drawn that to all.
Yeah, it's true.
At the end of the day, I mean, it's all about getting the 3 points, as people like to parrot on about. And in that respect, fair enough. I don't mind winning 1-0 away and getting the 3 points, winning ugly. But when you play in the bottom of the table team, and also remember we played Millwall, who hadn't won an away game, and
do you think we've come on a long way since Millwall?
But we couldn't beat them. So I'd like to see us put the sword through teams at home a little bit, you know, a little bit, let's say, swifter and more convincingly. But still, hopefully the performance levels will lift now as the opposition lifts. And I think the Blues coming to town, it's kind of making it a little bit more interesting. I mean, we'll do a little preview show on the derby, but at least they're not coming as like bottom three whipping boys. Nah. And they'll just, you know, put 10 behind the ball. And, you know, Villa, remember the last game? That was awful. It was like one shot on target, and that was the goal by Gabby. But at least they'll know that they can play a bit now. And their last four away games, they've won 2, drawn 2. And in fact, they've got 8 of their total of 10 away points in the last 4 games. So they're obviously on the up, and they should. You know, I don't think they'll get relegated this season. Going back to the Burton game, we should, as we mentioned last week, we should get a jingle for the Scott Hogan touch count.
I've done your rap, and you did insert it last week to your credit.
Yes, I did, so shut up.
I'll make you a new rap.
What were we going to call it? Hogan's Touches? I don't know. We'll sort something out. But we only started this 2 weeks ago, where we actually make special mention of how many times Hogan actually touched the ball. We started it in the Barnsley game because he managed to score 2 goals. And yet, he almost scored a hat trick, and yet he only touched the ball 12 times in the whole game.
It's remarkable. It is.
Against Sheffield United, 13 touches, but no goal. And for the second week running, he's gone up one more touch. He got 14 touches against Burton and obviously managed a goal. Unlucky, could have had 2 with that header.
It's constant improvement from Hogan.
It's beautiful. This is what we like to see. We want players at this club that improve every week. And Hogan,
that's a strong stat, isn't it? I'm desperate to interpret it in some form, but it's definitely upward.
It's surely going upward. I mean, okay, he scored 2 goals when he got his 12 touches. 13 touches, it was an improvement. 14 touches, at least he got that goal. But, you know, who cares about the goals? It's all about the touches.
It's 13 wasted touches, isn't it? That's the thing with Hogan. I've got to find the negative somewhere.
So against the Blues, we're setting him the target of 15. So it'll be interesting in the next podcast if Mr. Hogan can reach 15 in Hogan touches. Yeah, we've got the angle now. We've set him a target every week. So, yeah, we'll set him a target of 15. Over to you, Hogan. We should tweet him, actually. He's on Twitter.
I'm just looking forward to making a rather suggestive jingle. Hogan touches.
Oh, Hogan. So looking ahead, as we said, we're going to do a separate Blues show. I think if we beat the Blues, most people would expect to beat the Blues, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion because they are playing pretty good. And we've kind of, in terms of our performance, slipped off a little bit in the last couple of games. But if we can win ugly against the Blues, then that's fair enough because it probably will be ugly. And although I think Villa have shown enough flourish that if they went for it, if it wasn't all about game management and trying to get that, you know, get that 1-0 or...
Yeah.
They went for it. They could take the Blues, you know, take the Blues apart. Because the Blues still, I mean, Hotter's only just got back in the team. I mean, he scored 2 against Sheffield Wednesday, but it doesn't seem that, I think we're, let's say, the most fully formed of the two teams, and we've got enough firepower and quality. It's a kind of a word that Alan Hansen invented, that one.
Yeah.
that we could take them apart if we play well. And I think we're due a good performance, so maybe that's the one. My main concern, though, is the Fulham game, because Fulham...
Dark horses, aren't they, here?
Well, they're blitzing it. As we mentioned, they beat Burton 6-0 at home. And
They're quietly going win, win, win in the background, aren't they?
Yeah, and now they're in the back in the playoff spot. So, and I think they'll definitely end up there. But they're still within striking distance. If they beat Villa, then I think there's only about 2 points between us.
Mm.
So they'll see that as a big game in terms of their own automatic promotion prospects. So we could be too focused on the Blues game by the time we get to the Fulham game. But in terms of the actual playoff picture, you'd hope that Villa would beat the Blues since it's a home game, but the real first real proper battle will be against Fulham, I think. And then you've got another defining game when we host Derby as well in, well, let's say, April, so it's far away. But anyway, it's getting interesting. All we can hope for is that Villa keep winning, and if we can get to 8 games on the trot, then we are seriously rocking and rolling. People
will not know how to respond to 8 straight wins.
No idea. We'll have to cancel this podcast and rethink it.
Rename it the Villa Underground Podcast.
Fuck off. Two-bit site. It's a joke to the internet.
The dark web appreciates me.
You know it to be true. If you're listening on Apple / iTunes, please do give us a star rating and a little review. It helps the show in the iTunes search, or if they promote it or not, or you know, if other people look at it to see that it's, you know, something that people are actually listening to, which they are. But you might be like me and Dan, where, you know, we listen to shows and we never interact with the show because we are assholes. But
so we're asking you to do what we do not.
We want you to show us the way and be better human beings than we are. So if you could give us a nice star rating and a little, you can say what you want in the comments. It doesn't really matter, but it just helps. I think we got like 60 comments or whatever. So if we can get that up, that would be fantastic.
Get it up.
Also, drop us a tweet at Aston Villa Pod if you want anything discussed in the show. And if you really want to support the show, please do become a My Old Man Said Patreon. Go to myoldmansaid.com and click Patron on the top of the menu bar. Thanks to Craig, by the way, for signing up the other day. Much appreciated. All the way from Australia. I think that's the third most listened territory of this show, actually. Obviously, UK first, then USA. Then Australia, then it's Ireland, then Sweden, I think, and then Norway is sixth at the moment.
North Korea's pretty high too.
That's from the last 2 months anyway. Right, until our Blues preview episode, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.